Plenty to take away this morning. It's morning here in the United States, but it's 10 p.m. Seoul time after a very, very event-filled day. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures, the smoke over the base there on the Yongpyeong, the island that was site of this artillery exchange. North Korea firing at least 200 artillery rounds early this morning onto that South Korean island. Buildings set on fire. The Koreans, South Koreans responded with about 80 artillery rounds. They dispatched military fighter jets as well. New York Times South Korea correspondent Mark McDonald just told us 15 South Korean military injured, 3 civilians injured on the island. Joining us now is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. David, how do we put this in perspective with recent events in North Korea, including the story that you folks broke over the weekend that North Korea has opened a uranium enrichment channel in its nuclear program?
Well, it's hard to put all the pieces together, but this is not a completely unexpected pattern. First of all, North Korea is going through this succession crisis in which the son of Kim Jong-il and grandson of the founder of the country, Kim Il-sung, is being slowly designated as the next leader of the nation. He's only 25 years old. He was just made a general a few weeks ago after having had absolutely no military experience. He was a 4-star general, in fact, pretty good promotion right up. And usually the pattern that we have seen in Korea, certainly with his father, is that the new leader has to establish his credentials. And in a country that is as poor and backward as North Korea, that usually means showing that you're tough against both South Korea and its American allies. And so we saw a number of incidents like this when Kim Jong-il was on the rise 20 years ago, including the assassination or bombing of a good deal of the South Korean cabinet during a visit they were taking to Rangoon. I think you're beginning to see some of those here.
And so we would expect to see reports out of Pyongyang indicating that the young leader with no military experience is perhaps directing this or responding to a nation at war?
Could be. It's the question of how unsubtle they want to be about it. You know, it's interesting when they showed Siegfried Hecker, the Stanford professor who was visited North Korea 10 days ago, this uranium enrichment facility. When I first heard of it and I was talking to Dr. Hecker, I asked him whether they had mentioned Kim Jong-un. You know, would not be unusual for them to say that this was put together under his personal direction or that he, you know, strung the centrifuges together or something. And he said they didn't do that in that case. But maybe they don't need to. Maybe the symbolism is there and understood by the North Korean people.
You know, in your book, The Inheritance, you describe extensively the sort of lost opportunity under the Bush administration as North Korea developed nuclear weapons and a specific capability. But you also describe that this is potentially an opportunity for the United States to develop a fundamentally new relationship with China. Now we're into about the third or fourth iteration during the Obama era here of confrontations between the North and the South that have involved both the U.S. and China. Any evidence that a different relationship between the U.S. and China is developing over North Korea?
You know, there certainly was evidence of it last year, and I would say that it is all eroded this year. Last year, when the North Koreans greeted President Obama's inauguration by conducting a nuclear test, the Chinese came down pretty hard. They voted for a very strict resolution at the United Nations. They helped enforce some of the sanctions. This year, concerned that they did not want to lose contact with the North Koreans during this time of succession and wanted to maintain some influence, they have been very soft on the North Koreans, including the last big military incident like this in the spring when the North Koreans are believed to have sunk a South Korean ship, killing 46 sailors.
The Chonan incident.
The Chonan.
Right.
And on that, the Chinese basically provided cover for the North Koreans. And so I think a big concern for President Obama has got to be that the Chinese usually get involved when there's a nuclear issue involved because they don't want to see, you know, a nuclear accident happen near their borders. They don't really want a nuclear North Korea, though they're not really willing to stop it. When these kind of incidents happen, they tend to take a much more neutral stance.
So, David Sanger, is there a broader implication here that perhaps the Chinese are detecting that the Obama administration has lost the initiative, that they don't necessarily have a policy formulated? Or, as Brian Myers on this program suggested the last hour, that maybe the South Koreans want to wait out the North Koreans, and that the longer this goes on, the less credibility the new North Korean regime has among its very unstable domestic population?
Well, it could be, but that theory didn't work in the last succession. So, situation is different now. North Korea is in a tougher situation. To your question about whether the Obama administration has a strategy on North Korea, if they do, and I follow this stuff pretty closely, it eludes me. I mean, their strategy so far has been one of strategic patience, they've said. You know, the president who came in to engage the world, North Korea has been the exception. These six-party talks you hear about, there's been no meeting since December 2008, which, of course, was the end of the Bush administration. I think what they've determined is that the strategic patience, which basically amounted to ignoring the North Koreans, has resulted in the North Koreans clamoring for attention, and you're seeing a little bit of that this morning with some tragic results. And so the question is, what's a worse way to deal with North Korea? To negotiate with them and get no place, as has happened in previous administrations, or to ignore them and have incidents like this?
So, David Sanger, I hate to, you know, toss you out on a limb. Actually, you know that I love to, but I'm sensing a Week in Review piece sort of formulating in your mind about a lack of policy here.
It could be, but we do have a Thanksgiving holiday coming up, and you know that would take up most of the week, John. Right?
So you're just like the North Koreans, looking for cover. A very serious situation. How would you rank this situation in just sort of absolute sort of tension seriousness?
You know, relatively high in the history of the North Korean incidents back and forth, but probably not as high as the sinking of the Cheonan in the spring. And to that, the South Koreans did not respond. They did not take a military action back. At some point, the South Koreans are going to have to decide whether or not they're just going to sit and take repeated events like this, or they're going to retaliate. And that's when it gets a little bit dicey.
That's the next
stage. If they do retaliate, it could escalate.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times, talking about the situation this morning. North Korea firing 200 artillery rounds onto a South Korean island. South Korea responding, an emergency session of the South Korean government. And we'll have to wait and see what happens next. Thank you, David.
Thank you.